You're listening to 40 Days with James, Day 2. Last time, I read the entire document in the New International Version. We noticed the references and allusions to the Old Testament and the Sermon on the Mount. Today's talk is called Pure Joy versus Double Mind, and we'll be looking at the first 8 verses of Chapter 1. Let's begin in Chapter 1, Verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Who is he writing to? Well, he's writing to Christians. Christians, in a sense, as the new Israel. However, in the early church, many Christians were from a Jewish background, and so it's quite possible that many, if not most, of James's hearers were people who are brought up with the law. They're brought up in the world of the Old Testament. What kind of document is this? Normally, we think of it as a letter because it's grouped with the Catholic epistles, that is, the general letters that are James, the 2 Peters, the 3 Johns, and Jude. So you may have heard it called a letter or an epistle, and that could be correct. But others see it as more of a sermon, or maybe a compendium. That is, a very concise summary of James's teaching, some kind of a collection. And yet many scholars view this as being like the wisdom literature. You read James, and then you read Proverbs, then read James. Look at Ecclesiastes. Look at the wisdom literature like Job, and you'll see a lot of similarities. Well, I guess we don't have to be able to classify it perfectly in order to understand it or in order to obey it. When was James written? Some think that it's the first document of the New Testament, written as early as 45 AD, a few years before Galatians, and I suppose that's possible. But the 50s and 60s AD are a more likely setting. This was a time in Israel when there was tremendous social unrest, and we'll cover that when we come to the relevant parts of James. So for now, let's put it somewhere in the 50s or the mid-60s. Continuing in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. As we go through the document that is James, we will be looking at many topics. And one reason many think that it's not a letter, or maybe it is a bit more like the Proverbs, is that there often isn't too much of a connection or transition from one topic to another. What we're looking at today is the joy that is available to us in Christ, even in times of suffering, as opposed to the doubt and the anxiety of being double-minded. Notice the reference to trials. When we face trials of many kinds, we're to consider it pure joy, something that I think is very difficult for us humans to do. Our natural complaint, at least mine is to somehow complain or get rid of the trial or let someone know, I'm suffering, I'm going through this. But biblically, trials are not just recognized as part of life, but they're viewed in a positive way. It's a means through which God refines us. God has a plan for growth. And, you know, at my stage of life, my trials may be different to your trials. Perhaps you're older than me and much more dominated by issues of health, or maybe it's simply sadness at losing friends as they die. Or maybe you're a lot younger and you're not even really thinking about your career. You're trying to decide what to study in school or whether to go off to university. Maybe you have trials with your siblings or you have tension with your parents or your roommate. But all of us have challenges, whether financial, or social, or emotional, intellectual, and these can be very difficult. God's plan for growth. In Romans 5, there's a parallel passage. Let me read this parallel. Here, the Apostle Paul says, "We glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." And so in Romans 5, we see that if we want character, if we want that solid change as we become more and more like Christ, there will be suffering. And suffering doesn't automatically create character. We have to have the right attitude. We have to persevere. So if we reject God's discipline and refuse to go through trials and become negative and complaining, well, we're not going to benefit at all. And that's why James says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. In other words, spiritual maturity has a lot to do with suffering. If you want a whole chapter on that topic, read Romans 8. But let's stick with James. He says in verse 5, if you lack wisdom, simply pray and God will give it. Now, this is not, we're not talking about academic knowledge. I'm having trouble with my calculus or with this paper I'm writing, or I'm having difficulty understanding this book. It's not that kind of wisdom, although I think it's reasonable to pray to God for understanding. But wisdom is a spiritual quality. Yes, it's knowledge, but it's knowledge applied, knowledge used in a spiritual way for the glory of God. When we ask, God will give us wisdom, but don't make a silly request. God, give me wisdom by tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, or give me wisdom today, because many forms of wisdom take years to develop. It may actually take decades before we have the wisdom we want. And it reminds me of that t-shirt I saw somewhere at an airport. If you want to be old and wise, you have to first be young and stupid. And it may be a bit harsh, but you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I certainly relate. So we ask God because he gives generously and he gives without finding fault. He's not prejudiced. He's not holding things against us. It says it will be given. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Now, we shouldn't think here that this is a mental state we need to psych ourselves into. I believe, I believe, I believe. No, because that's not really belief. That's just hyperventilation. And doubt is biblically not always a bad thing. Doubt can be very good. There are good varieties of doubt and bad varieties. If we're simply honest about what we think or what we don't understand or uncertainty, then there's an opportunity to receive clarity, to receive grace from the Lord. But sometimes doubt is negative, destructive, and quite deliberate when we don't want to believe, or when we want to believe two conflicting things. And here's the analogy of the wave of the sea, tossed this way and that way by the wind. Of course, a wave of the sea has no willpower, but we do, and we don't want to be tossed in that kind of a way. We're looking for stability. We're looking for maturity. Double-mindedness is draining. When we're in two minds, when something's hanging over us and we can't decide what to do or even whether to do it, it's a lot harder to experience joy. I wake up some days and nothing's hanging over my head. No unfinished business from yesterday. No unreconciled relationship, someone I know I need to get back to. No deadline that I have to meet. Some days I wake up and there's nothing there. But I know that when there are all kinds of things, and often it's multiple things, that can be exhausting. We just need to submit this to God. Because double-mindedness is really draining. And it says that person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I don't want to be unstable, and I'm sure you don't either. So, looking at this first section, pure joy versus double-mind, if we want to have the joy, we don't run away from hardship and pain. We embrace the trials. If that's too difficult, then we ask for God to help us continue to mature by giving us the wisdom we need for those situations. And yet when we ask, this is not simply a mechanical request. We need to ask with faith, knowing that on the other side of our request is a God who is real, who loves us and who cares for us, and who will stabilize us as he gives us wisdom and helps us to mature. This is a great section of scripture. I have so many favorite verses in James. This is definitely one of them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that today you would be with us in our trials. If we don't have any trials, help us to be alert and help others through theirs. But Lord, give us the wisdom and the stability, the love for you that we need. And we thank you so much for James clarifying things, being so straight and so honest. We thank you through Christ. Well, that's all for today. Next, we'll be looking at pride versus humility, the next section of James. And we're also going to look at him, James, the actual first century character. We'll talk about his life. We'll talk about how he died. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.